Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. We're diving into a fascinating research paper today. It's called UAP Pattern Recognition Study 1945 to 1975 U.S. Military Atomic Warfare Complex. Buckle up, because we're going deep into some intriguing territory.
Indeed. This paper really caught my eye as well. It meticulously analyzes UAP activity, not just as like isolated incidents, but in relation to U.S. atomic sites.
During the Cold War.
Exactly. This isn't about little green men, right? It's about looking for patterns, trying to understand if there's something more to these sightings. Did UAPs have a particular interest in our atomic capabilities during this critical period?
That's the core question. And to answer it, the researchers took a very data-driven approach. They compiled a vast database of 590 documented UAP reports from 1945 to 1975. Focusing on those vetted by reliable sources within the military intelligence communities.
So they weren't just pulling random UFO stories off the internet, right? This is serious stuff. Absolutely. They wanted to make sure they were working with credible data, and then they compared the UAP activity at atomic sites to control locations, conventional military bases, population centers, to see if there was a statistically significant difference. Think of it like a scientific experiment where you have your test group and your control group.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did they find? Did UAP seem particularly interested in our atomic sites?
Well, the study was broken down into five phases, each focusing on a different aspect of the atomic complex. And in those early phases, focusing on the heart of the atomic program, the production, assembly, and storage of radioactive materials and weapons, the patterns were pretty compelling.
Give me an example.
Take the 1949 Hanford incident. Radar operators and multiple witnesses observed a disc-shaped object exhibiting what they called station-keeping behavior near the Hanford site in Washington State. This was one of the earliest plutonium production facilities, crucial to the atomic bomb project.
Hang on. They saw this thing on radar.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just zipping by. It was hovering.
That's right. And it wasn't just a blip on the screen either. An F-82 interceptor was scrambled to investigate, which speaks volumes about how seriously the Air Force took this incident. Remember, this was just a few years after Roswell and the dawn of the Cold War. Tensions were high, and anything unusual in the skies was treated with extreme caution.
Wow, that's straight out of a movie. So they scrambled a jet to chase this thing down. What happened?
Unfortunately, the details are a bit murky. The pilot's report is still classified, but it's clear the incident caused quite a stir. And Hanford wasn't an isolated case. Similar sightings were reported at other early atomic sites, like Oak Ridge in Tennessee.
Oak Ridge, that was another key facility in the early atomic program, right?
Yes. Oak Ridge focused on uranium enrichment. And what makes the incidents there particularly interesting is that some of the UAP sightings coincided with unexplained radiation spikes detected by security systems. It's like someone or something was paying very close attention to what was happening inside these facilities.
Okay, now that's spooky. Radiation spikes, what could explain that?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The study doesn't speculate on the cause of the radiation spikes, but it does highlight the correlation between these spikes and the UAP sightings, which is pretty significant. It suggests a level of technological capability that's hard to explain away with conventional explanations.
This is really fascinating stuff. So we've got radar confirmations, visual sightings, scrambled jets, radiation spikes. It's starting to feel like there was a definite pattern of interest in our early atomic efforts.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. The study goes on to analyze UAP activity at different types of atomic sites throughout the Cold War, comparing it to activity at control locations. And the findings are, well, let's just say they raise more questions than answers.
All right, I'm hooked. Let's dive deeper into those other phases of the study. What else did they uncover?
As we delve further into this research, you'll notice a distinct shift in focus in phase four. Instead of early development sites like Hanford and Oak Ridge, the researchers turned their attention to where those atomic weapons were being deployed. Active military bases.
So less about how we were building the bombs, and more about the bombs themselves.
Precisely. And here the study gets even more granular. It doesn't just lump all atomic bases together. It differentiates between bases where atomic weapons were actively deployed versus conventional military bases with no atomic arsenal.
Okay. So they're comparing apples to apples, so to speak. Makes sense. Was there still heightened UAP activity around the atomic bases?
Interestingly, the spike in activity wasn't as pronounced as it was during those early development phases. While there was still a statistically significant difference, with more UAP reports near the atomic bases, it wasn't as dramatic.
That almost suggests the UAPs were more interested in learning how we were building these weapons than in the weapons themselves.
That's one interpretation. But remember, the researchers are focused on patterns, not on drawing definitive conclusions about intent. It's possible the UAPs had already gleaned what they needed to know about the weapons themselves during those earlier phases.
That's a good point. But if they were less interested in the deployed bombs, why were there still more sightings around atomic bases than conventional ones? What could explain that?
Well, here's where it gets even more fascinating. Within this phase, the researchers noticed a particular uptick in UAP activity around ICBM sites, specifically the newer Minuteman III facilities.
ICBMs, those are the really big ones, right? The ones that can travel across continents.
Exactly. Intercontinental ballistic missiles, capable of delivering nuclear warheads to targets thousands of miles away. They represented a significant leap forward in technology and destructive potential compared to the early atomic bombs.
So maybe the UAPs weren't just interested in atomic weapons in general, but in the most advanced, most potent weapon systems we were developing.
It's a compelling possibility, isn't it? The timing of the increased activity around these ICBM sites coincides with their deployment, suggesting a possible correlation.
Okay, I can see how that would pique someone's curiosity, to say the least. So if phases 1-3 were about understanding how we built the bomb, and phase 4 was about keeping tabs on the most powerful iterations of those bombs, what was phase 5 all about?
Phase 5 broadens the scope beyond just atomic weapons, turning instead towards advanced aerospace facilities. We're talking about places like White Sands Missile Range, Edwards Air Force Base, Vandenberg, and Cape Canaveral.
Ah, so now we're talking about the space race. Rockets, satellites, pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Precisely. And what the researchers found is a pattern that mirrors those earlier phrases. There is a noticeable spike in UAP activity around these sites, particularly during the early days of missile testing at White Sands.
So it's not just atomic technology that seems to have attracted attention, but advanced aerospace technology as well.
That's the implication. It's almost as if there was an ongoing interest in tracking our technological progress, particularly in areas related to weapons and space exploration.
It's a pretty wild thought, isn't it? To think that someone or something might have been watching us so closely during those pivotal years of the Cold War. But before we jump to conclusions, let's talk about methodology. How can we be sure these weren't just random occurrences?
That's a crucial question. And the researchers were acutely aware of it. They didn't just rely on anecdotal evidence or eyewitness accounts. They applied rigorous statistical analysis to the data, comparing the frequency of UAP sightings at atomic and aerospace sites to the frequency at control locations.
So they weren't just cherry-picking data points that fit their narrative. They were looking for statistically significant patterns.
Exactly. And what they found was that the patterns, particularly in those early phases focused on atomic development and early missile testing, were statistically significant. The odds of these patterns occurring by pure chance were extremely low.
That adds a lot of weight to their findings. But still, we're left with the biggest question of all. What does it all mean? What were they doing there?
Ah, the question of intent. That's the holy grail, isn't it?
Yeah.
And to be fair to the researchers, they don't claim to have the answer. Their study was focused on identifying patterns, not on speculating about motives. But that doesn't mean we can't explore some possibilities, does it?
Absolutely not. Let's dive into those possibilities. What are some plausible explanations for this apparent interest in our technological advancements?
It's almost like trying to piece together a puzzle. Without all the pieces, right, we see the patterns. But the why remains elusive.
So let's brainstorm. What are some of the potential explanations for this focused attention on our atomic and aerospace technologies?
Well, the most straightforward, albeit somewhat unsettling possibility, is that we are being observed by another nation, a foreign intelligence agency keen on stealing our secrets.
You're talking about our Cold War rivals, right? The Soviets, the Chinese, maybe even others.
Exactly. During that era, espionage was rampant. And the stakes were incredibly high. Gaining insight into our nuclear and aerospace capabilities would have been a major coup for any of our adversaries.
But wouldn't sending something as unusual as a UAP be incredibly risky? I mean, what if it was shot down or captured? That would trigger a major international incident, maybe even escalate the Cold War.
It certainly would have been a gamble. But sometimes the potential rewards outweigh the risks. Especially when you consider the technological disparity at the time. If they had something that could outperform our aircraft, that could evade radar, that could operate silently, well, it might have seemed like a risk worth taking.
I suppose that's true, especially if they thought they could get away with it. But let's say, for argument's sake,
yeah,
that it wasn't espionage, what other possibilities are there?
Well, this is where things get really interesting. We have to consider the possibility that we were dealing with something truly unknown, a non-human intelligence.
Extraterrestrial. You're going there.
It's a hypothesis. That, given the data, can't be easily dismissed. If we accept the possibility that life exists beyond Earth, then it's reasonable to assume that some of those life forms might be technologically advanced, even more so than ourselves.
Okay, I'll grant you that. But if it's extraterrestrial, why the focus on atomic and aerospace technologies? Why not, say, our agricultural practices or our art museums?
That's a great question. And it speaks to the larger mystery of UAP behavior. Perhaps these specific technologies represent a kind of threshold, a sign that a civilization has reached a certain level of sophistication.
You're saying that mastering atomic energy and space travel might be a universal marker of technological advancement, kind of like a cosmic coming-of-age party.
It's a fascinating idea, isn't it? Maybe they're not interested in our day-to-day lives, but in our potential, our ability to harness powerful forces, to travel beyond our home planet, and maybe that potential is something they're monitoring for reasons we can only speculate about.
It's definitely mind-blowing to think about. But let's step back for a moment and look at the bigger picture. What are the broader implications of this research, regardless of who or what might be behind these UAP sightings?
I think one of the most significant implications is that it challenges us to reconsider our place in the universe. For centuries, we've assumed we were alone, at least in terms of technological civilizations. But this research, along with a growing body of other evidence, suggests that assumption might be wrong.
And if it is wrong, that changes everything, doesn't it?
It does. It opens up a whole new realm of possibilities, both exciting and daunting. It means we may not be the most technologically advanced species out there. It means we might not be alone in the universe. And it means we have a lot more to learn, not just about UAPs, but about ourselves, our history, and our future.
It's almost like we're on the verge of a new scientific revolution, like the discovery of the telescope or the microscope. This could fundamentally alter our understanding of reality.
And just like those earlier revolutions, it won't be easy. There will be resistance, skepticism, and even fear. But ultimately, I believe the pursuit of knowledge will prevail.
I hope you're right. So where do we go from here? What are the next steps in unraveling this mystery?
First and foremost, we need more research. The study we discussed today is a great start, but it's just a glimpse into a much larger phenomenon. We need to expand the scope of our investigations, dig deeper into historical records, analyze more data, and develop new methods of observation.
And we need to do it openly and transparently, sharing information with the public and engaging in a robust scientific debate.
Absolutely. The days of secrecy and stigma should be over. This is a topic that deserves serious scientific attention, and the public has a right to know what we're learning.
Well said. And to our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it as fascinating and thought-provoking as we did.
Remember, the truth is out there, waiting to be discovered. Keep those minds open, stay curious, and keep looking up.